Christ.
Amen. We are on this sermon series called No Ordinary Superheroes. No superheroes, just ordinary people. And Trey Green, the Next Generational Pastor, started that last week. And I'll continue on today, and for the last of this month, we'll be looking at different characters that God used in the Bible. Today, we're talking about this one guy that I can't pronounce his name. It's Judges chapter 11, verse 3. The verse is going to be up there for you. Judges 11, verse 3. Look at that first name. Who can pronounce that? I don't care if it's in English, Hebrew. I don't care. So we're going to call him Jeff. What do you say? Isn't that cool? We can give people names, right? So I can't pronounce. I say it's just Jephthah, maybe? Maybe? Come on. No love? All right, I got you. We're going to call him Jeff, all right? So all the other Jeffs in the house, I'm sorry. That's just how you're going to go, all right? So Jeff fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. And the worthless fellows collected around Jeff and went out with him. Today we're going to look at this passage of Judges chapter 11. It's one of those chapters that you're like, what in the world is going on here? So there's a lot going on here. I can't explain the whole thing. But believe me, one of those passages that has a lot of power to change our lives. So we're going to be exploring that. But there's one word on this statement, on this verse, that it really jumped out in the text to me, and it is the word worthless. The word worthless. I mean, I don't know about you, but sometimes I go out through life and I feel worthless. I feel like people really don't accept me for who I am, and therefore I have no value whatsoever. I mean, can you remember the last time you felt like worthless? Maybe it was like a project that you did in your workplace and your boss came to you and said, that's no good. Maybe you as a wife and you cook something and your husband came home and ate and said, oh, I'm not so sure about that. That happens the other day in my house, but it was the other way around. I cooked, Lord didn't like it. I felt like worthless. Not true. I mean, we all can feel this sense of rejected, of being worthless, of lacking value, or of lacking something that people want or needs in their life. Therefore, they reject us and push us away. And that's the story of Jeff here in the Bible. It's the story of someone who was rejected, who had a very tough upbringing, and he was a worthless man as was described here. I want to read the whole verses for you. It's Judges. You can open your Bible if you would like to, but it will be up there. Judges chapter 11, verses 1 and 3. I would like to read the whole thing, the whole few verses there, and then I'll summarize his story for you, okay? So here's the word. Here's what the word of God says in Judges chapter 1, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Now, Jeff, the Gileadite, there you go, was a warrior, can speak English today, dang. All right. Now, Jeff, the Gileadite, was a mighty warrior, but he was the son of a prostitute. Gilead was the father of Jeff, and Gilead's wife also bore him sons. And when his wife's sons grew up, they drove Jeff out and said to him, "You shall not have inheritance in our father's house, for you are the son of another woman." Then Jeff fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. And the worthless fellows collected around Jeff and went out with him. Wow. Can you imagine? Put yourself in the life of this guy, right? His dad makes a mistake and he reaps from it, right? Can you imagine living like this kid, like, you know, growing up in a house where people knew that your mother was a prostitute? That people knew that was something that was immoral, that people didn't approve of, and you were a product of something that the world disapproved of. Can you imagine growing up in a world like this where your brothers know that your mother is left with your dad outside of what was the norm, and you came to be, and now the whole world looks at you and points a finger in your face? I mean, I can't imagine living like growing up on this context. when he grew up, when he became older, his brothers start to pick on him to the point that they say, like, listen, you know, worth getting what mom and dad's going to leave behind. Get out. Get out of our lives. Get out of this house. Go away. So he goes away and he hangs out with a group of worthless people. Wow. Rejected, worthless, son of a prostitute. What a way of starting life. Wouldn't you say that? I mean, so many times in life, though, we feel just like this guy, don't we? We feel like rejected, worthless. We feel like that our upbringing wasn't the one that propped us up for success. We feel like that we're really not worth of anyone or anybody. And things just keep piling up on that sense of rejection and worthlessness. Worthlessness, not being worthy of anything. And I think there is a couple of lessons that we ought to learn from the life of Jeff here. And the lesson that I want to focus on to you, it is up there, and I want to say it is this. It is not about what others think of you or the lies you believe about yourself. It's about how God sees you. That's what is it about. It is not about what other people think of you or the lies that you believe about yourself. It is really about how God sees you. That's what is it about. Here's the story of this guy. You read at the beginning of his life, and he was kicked out, and the Amorites comes against the Israelites and wants to destroy Israel. So the elders, the leaders of Israel, goes to Jeff and say, hey, Jeff, we need you back because we also know that you are a warrior. We need you back to help us win the battle against the Amorites. And Jeff was like, whoa, 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 wait a second. Until like a few months ago, you thought I was worthless. You rejected me. You kicked me out of the group. And now that you're in a bind, you want to call me back home to help you out? Heck no. No, he didn't say that, actually. He said, all right, I will go back. I'll go back. But here's the deal. If I go back and if I help you, I'll become the next leader. The elders was like, sounds good. You'll be our judge. That's one of the book of Judges. That's what it's about. Leaders who led God's people through difficult times, and God saved the people through the judges. So this guy, the rejected, worthless son of a prostitute, comes back home and leads Israel against the Amorites. And now as he's doing that, he prays to God and he says, God, I know of you, I know who you are, and I know that you have brought me to this place. And if you help me win this battle, if you help me as I lead Israel over at the Amorites, I make a vow to you, anything that comes out of my door, my house, I'll give it back to you. I'll give it to you. So as he goes to the battle, they win. Jeff wins the battle with the group of Israel. He comes home. His daughter walks out of the house to celebrate with him. Now he has to give her back to God as Hannah gave Samuel, if you remember that story. So she was devoted to God, and she was never able to marry, or descendant was never able to be given to Jeff, which made him sad. He tore his clothes, and he said, I got to go on with the vow I made because God has blessed me. So my daughter is no longer mine. It is God's. This is a great story of a guy who had everything going wrong in his life. But because he put himself in the presence of God, he was able to be used by God to do some extraordinary things. So many times in the church, we feel like that we got to have the supernatural powers in order to be used by God. But reality is that God wants to use those who put themselves in the presence of God. See, here's the thing. People saw Jeff as a worthless, rejected man, but God saw him as a warrior. So many times in our lives, we're preoccupied with what other people think of us. Isn't that true? I mean, we ask the people, we ask the questions, does people like me? Does my life matter to anyone? Does anyone really cares about me? People say so much mean things about me, it must be true. And so you start living by those mean things. We ask the questions, why does people hurt me? Because they do that, I must deserve it. You know, I must not be worth of being loved and cared for. So I'm just going to live a miserable life, and it starts with you. We base our worth on what other people think of us. We all base our worth on how other people view us. If someone else finds me worth of being loved, of loving, then I will feel like I'm worth being loved. But if someone don't feel like loving me or receiving me or approving me, and then I feel rejected. I feel like I'm not received. There's something wrong with me. Something needs to change in my life. Maybe I'm not worth anything. We base our value and praise from others, either for something we have done or brought or bought, or the way we look. Because essentially, if someone else thinks I'm okay, then I must be okay. And we ended up forgetting about what God thinks and what God says about us. I understand. I got you. I have seen many people say, don't worry about what other people think. And I know this is a naive statement because even in the aspect of accountability, you need to know what other people think about you for you to be able to be kept accountable. So you can't just throw that whole statement away. It would be unrealistic to live life not knowing or not caring about what other people think about you. There is a healthy aspect of that. But here, we need to prioritize voices in your mind and in our hearts. We are so many times putting people's voices first before really listening to what God has to say about who you are and how He sees you and feels about you. So we need to base our worth first on the words that comes out of God's mouth. Base our worth on what God thinks of us. That's the primary thing, the first and foremost is to learn and understand and to hear what God has to say. And for Jeff, God said that he was a mighty warrior. That's what God had in mind for him. That's what God knew of him. The rest was all the world pointing a finger in his life. And here's the thing, we can discern that at times in our own lives, right? People in the world is pointing a finger on the things that doesn't even matter, that you have no control over, and then you forget to really think about what God is saying. Here's the thing about the voices of the people around us. Even those love us the most, they love us imperfectly. Does that make sense? People never love perfectly. Their views and opinions are consistently changing and not complete. People do not know you completely to be able to love you completely. We just love parts of an individual. Even a mother can only love parts of the son, of the daughter, because it doesn't know the kid completely. But God is different. He knows you completely, which makes him able to love you for who you are, the good, the bad, and the ugly. He accepts you for who you are. He doesn't accept for the masks that you do, that you show. Because we all fake it one way or another to be accepted. So God doesn't, he sees through the fakeness. He sees through all the things that we do in order for people to accept us. He sees through it all and accepts you anyway. So let me say these few statements here for you who have never been unconditionally loved or accepted, because we all have felt that way one way or another. So if you are a child who has never felt unconditionally loved by your parents, I'm truly sorry, and so is God. But it's not your fault. It doesn't mean you're worthless. Your worth doesn't come from the lack of your love that you had from your mom and dad or the abuse you suffered from your mom and dad. Let me just say to you, to the individual who has never been unconditionally loved or accepted by their friends, I'm truly sorry, and so is God. But that's not your fault, and it doesn't mean you are worthless, that you were rejected. Let me just say it one more time for the husband or for the wife who has never been unconditionally loved or accepted, or you feel that way, I am sorry. God is truly sorry too, but it is not your fault. You need to understand that. And that doesn't mean you are worthless or rejected either. And here's the thing. The only way for you to gain this deep sense of self-worth is to understand how God himself, the creator, views you. Because his love is complete, it's perfect. His knowledge of us is complete and unconditional and pure. Through God, we can get this true assessment about who we really are. Even us, we know this. You can fool yourself and I can fool myself, but we all know that sometimes we lie to ourselves so that we can accept ourselves, the mistakes that we made. Don't we do that? My God, he sees it all. He knows it all. And this is the thing you need to know. He thinks of you as worldly. God sees the whole thing and thinks of you as worldly. And once we understand that, when we understand that in the core of our being, of our soul, we'll no longer depend on the approval of other people, but our worth will be built on the solid foundation of an unchanging God, who is making us fit for kingdom work. Ordinary people doing some pretty awesome, extraordinary things. You need to understand what God thinks of you and how he created you and for what he created you. So I think we need to pay attention to these truths that I'm about to tell you. That is very important for you to understand. That is the things that Jeff understood about himself that allow him to be used by God in that specific story in Judges chapter 11. And that we need to understand today, if we want to be ordinary people, who does some extraordinary things through God? Here's the first statement. There'll be an opening on those statements, all right? The first one is this. God designed and thought of you before you were born. I'm going to make several of these statements, and there'll be opening like that. And every time that those statements comes up, I want you to put your name in there. God designed Sam and thought of him before I was born. Imagine being dreamed about before you were even born. God dreamed about you. Isn't that cool to know? The God who created you dreamed about you. I love Psalm 139, verse 13 and 16. It says this. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in the outer seclusions, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. God dreamed of you even before your mom and dad thought they were able to make you. Second statement, God thinks of you. God thinks about Sam. Imagine how you would feel to have someone love you so much that they couldn't stop thinking about you. That's God. He never stops thinking about you. Your husband does, your wife does, your kids does, your mom and dad does, but God never stops thinking about you. On Psalm 139, as it continues, verse 17 and 18 says this, how precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. Wow. You're in God's mind all the time. It's like Laura. She's on my mind all the time. Better get good dinner tonight. God will never forget you. God will never forget you. Because you're in his mind all the time, he will never forget you. Right? Imagine someone tattooing your name in their hand. God has your name tattooed in his hand. I know the word tattoo is a kind of taboo in the church, right? But let me tell you, God has your, you don't believe it? Let's read it with me. Psalm 49, 11, 15, chapter 49, verses 15 and 16. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? It's a question. No, of course not. Though she may forget, I will not forget you. I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. The word engraved is the word for writing. I have written your name in the palms of my hand. You have your name in God's hands. That's what Psalm 49 tells us. God thinks about you. He will never forget you. And the other thing I want to tell you, he will never abandon you. He will never abandon you. You might have been rejected and abandoned by your family, by your friends, by your co-worker, by the world around you. But that doesn't happen with God. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says this. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will never fail you nor abandon you. Can you get this word in your heart, in your mind today? He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Many people will fail you. The people you trust will fail you. Your bosses will fail you. Your kids will do that. Your spouse will do that. Your best friend will do that. They will even abandon you at times, depending on the circumstances. But God, he sticks with you to the good, the bad, and the ugly. Aren't you happy about that? God delights in you. God delights in you. Imagine someone who finds joy in knowing you. God does. God cares for you. Imagine someone who is willing to take your burdens. God will. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. God cares for you. God makes you new. Imagine someone who doesn't care about your past, but will accept you and make you new. That's God. That is God right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says this. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ Jesus has become a new person, a new creation. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. I love this next statement that the Bible tells us about what God thinks about you and I. God sees you as a masterpiece. God sees you as a masterpiece. Imagine being thought of as priceless, created with a purpose in mind. You are a masterpiece. If you look at me, you know that. God sees Sam as a masterpiece. Why are you laughing at? It's true. Look at this bald head. I joke around, but it's so true. You are priceless. We come in all different colors, shapes, and it doesn't, like, we don't have to meet no worldly standard. God himself already said it. The way you look today is good, is perfect. Don't try to imitate a magazine. Don't try to imitate athletes. I don't care what people are saying out there. You are perfect just as you are. And some of you need to hear that today. You're a masterpiece. Look what Ephesians chapter 2, 10 say. For we are God's masterpiece. If someone doesn't like it, how you look like or the shape, or you tell them, you know what, go talk to God. He made me. I'm pleased the way I am. He's also, so it is what it is. God made you a masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the things he planned for us long ago. One more statement. God loves you. Imagine a love so deep that someone would offer their child's life to save yours and then make you their child. That's what God did. God saves us. God saved you. Imagine that despite your past mistakes, someone offers you a do-over for free that will not be taken away. That's what God offers you when you are saved. Let's do this again. Let's do this in a better way. Let's do it better. And God, the last statement is that God wants to use you. God wants to use Sam. God wants to use, put your name in it. Imagine you, an ordinary individual, doing some very awesome, extraordinary things, despite your weaknesses, your lack of wisdom, being a crucial part of the Creator's plan for the world. That's what God offers. He offers this opportunity for you and I to join Him in changing the world. I love John 14, verses 12. See, this is what John 14, 12 says. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. Guys, I don't know if you understand this, but we ordinary people, we have the ability to do the same things that Jesus Christ himself did. Can you name some of those things that Jesus did as you read the gospel? I mean, if you can't, you need to go back to the gospel and start reading those things, the works of Jesus. And Jesus himself said, listen, if you believe in me, if you are in me, if you're a follower of mine, you will do the same things that I did. Not only that, he says, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Jesus has entrusted you to finish what he has started. Do you feel worthless as Jeff did, as the gang of brothers that he hanged out with him did? See, so many times we look at our lives and we say, you know what, I can be used by God. Look at my life. Look at all the things that I have done and look at all my past and all the mistakes I have made. Look at all the mess that I'm in. I can't be used by God. I think Trey talked about that last week, and he said a statement like this. I was listening to his sermon and said this: God will use the nothings of this world for greater things. I believe that's so true. It is the Bible itself. It is the story of this guy, the nothing of the world, the rejected, worthless son of a prostitute was used by God to save Israel. That should bring us hope. If God could use a guy like that, can he not use us? Because at times I feel like rejected, all right? I feel worthless as a son of a prostitute. And God chooses to use me, and it brings hope to you and to me that God can use the nothings of this world in order to do extraordinary things. And he does that for his glory. And you may be thinking, I'm just a lay person, Pastor Sam. What can God do with me? I don't have all the Bible knowledge. I don't have all the qualification. I don't have the perfect lifestyle. And did you see my upbringing? I don't have the holiness that people once or talked about. My life is not put together. I don't have a seminary degree. I don't have these extensive ministry experiences and the stories the pastors and teachers tell out there. I don't have all of that. If there's one lesson this passage in Judges chapter 11 teaches us, is that God uses those who consider what God thinks of them, lives by what God says about them, and makes themselves available to him independent of the qualification or the expectations that people have for them. If there is a lesson that you need to learn, here is this, is that God uses ordinary people, the nothings of the world, because they consider what God thinks of them, they live by what God says about them, and they make themselves available to God. It's not about qualification. It is not about how good you are. No. for the opposite of that at times, I think, because if you look at Acts that Trey talked about last week, and if you look at the New Testament, especially the gospel, God uses messed up people. It's the messed up ones that he calls, right? Think about Matthew, the tax collector. The guy had a mess of a life. He was not a good person, and that's the one God called. He was given the opportunity to walk with Jesus for 3 years, to learn from Jesus. And as he went through the walk with Jesus, his life was transformed. Jesus didn't tell Matthew, hey, Matthew, go change your life first and then come follow me. No, Jesus found him in his mess and said, come follow me. I sometimes think it is the messes in people's lives that draw Jesus to them. Definitely true in my life. It is the messiness in my life that I felt like that draw me to Jesus. Like, hey, I know I need Jesus. And Jesus pursued me as he pursued Matthew and Paul and the disciples. And it is during that journey with Jesus that we are used as ordinary people for his own and for his glory. And let me tell you, the opportunity that was given to the disciples, to Jeff on this passage, and to many in the New Testament, is the same opportunity that is extended to you today. Jesus is looking for people who are wanting to learn from him, walk with him, and be transformed by his teaching, all while impacting the world with the same very cool, extraordinary actions that Jesus himself did. So many times we think that Jesus is looking for people who has these titles that comes, these great adjectives that comes after the name. I'm not so sure that's what God is looking for. He's looking for available people, people who's going to make themselves available to God. God is a mysterious God, and he takes the nothings of this world and make them into kings like they did David. Or he uses he used the donkey to see a message being spread. Today, as we saw, God used this rejected, worthless man to deliver God's people from the hands of their enemies. If that doesn't bring you hope that you can be ordinary person doing some extraordinary things in the name of Jesus, I don't know what all the story will. If the stories of Jeff doesn't bring you hope that God can use you and wants to use you and is using you, I mean, I don't know what it will. Let me tell you, this lack of hope is exactly what the enemy wants you to have. You maybe think I'm totally unworthy to be used by God. If you only knew Pastor Sam. Let me tell you a secret. We are all miserable sinners. I am. I am. There is a lot in me that still needs to change. And unless we acknowledge our unworthiness and our unfittingness towards God's service, we will never be used by God. So we need to let this sink in, and the worship team can come forward. And we need to let this sink in our minds, okay? I want you to really understand and begin to understand this here, right? Like Jeff, you are precious for God's kingdom. You are precious. God has a lot to say and to do through you. You are precious. And not because of what the things that, not because of what people think of you, not because of the things that you do, not because you look a certain way or have achieved some things. No, it is not. It is not that. I want you to understand that you are worth so much because God, he created you, he made you, he loves you, and he'll do anything for you. There's nothing to do with you. There's everything to do with God. Your worthiness to God comes because of who you are in him. See, Jeff, he was rejected son of a prostitute. He stepped up to the challenge and became the judge of Israel. Through his life, although his life was not perfect, and we can certainly turn it apart and find all the faults, God still used him to fulfill his purpose. God wants to do the same with you. Listen, we can be faithful like Jeff was, and we can certainly be sure that God will be there giving us ordinary people the opportunity to do some extraordinary things in his name. Or we cannot. The decision is yours. You can believe what God says, say you are, or you can believe in what other people say. You can rely on the strength and the power that God gives you, or you can look on your life and see all the weaknesses and the things that went wrong. And it's up to you. But the Bible teaches us of a guy who had no power to take away the circumstances of his life, but he trusted God with his life, and he saw himself as an ordinary guy doing some extraordinary things in the name of Jesus. And that could be your story. Let me pray. Jesus,